buenos días. On my apologies,
in that meeting, and I don't know what the position is now. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the committee. Thank you, Chair. This being the first time that the department presents the quarterly report to the committee, and that several issues that challenges that we got to resolve. One was that the request of the portfolio committee said we should present two reports. The first on our first quarter performance, and then the second quarter performance. Now, our understanding of the quarterly report from the government side is that our first quarter starts in April, and we have come to learn that the parliamentary first quarter doesn't coincide with the government first quarter. So when we received the instructions, we had then that problem that our first quarter will effectively be what is a second parliamentary quarter. We are then placing that before the committee to guide, because if we follow and work within the parliamentary quarter system, what would be the first quarter in terms of the parliamentary system would be the fourth quarter in terms of the government system. And with that, we then face the second problem. The problem being that when we had to come and report, as we do now, we've just finished our first quarter. And it comes to the members, the question in terms of the receipt of the work that we just finished, because we just finished this one about a week ago. And we see finalizing that report which you gave it to yourself today. Even my minister this morning, I had to plead with her that she grants us a special dispensation that you have the first lien into it. Come the time when we complete it, we have get something from our own department. So even on that, we could not complete it in time. We regret highly that element, but the minister has said we've got to report to you exactly that issue of saying we've just completed actually our first quarter, and in compiling the report, she still has to see it, but she's giving it a go ahead to say we've got to present this, because this being our first exercise in terms of reporting, in the manner that we are doing outside the annual reporting. This is a mitigation for Chair and to the members in general that it's just completed within a week. Our officials are still gathering, so what you have really is a work that is on its way to completion, but it's not completed. What still needs to be completed are certain key issues around variations in performance where against your target you performed less than you expected and you need to explain, and all of these needs to be put in, and then there will be found in the final report. I'm not sure that this is the reason that it has accounted, but we regret and seek your understanding given this our first process of reporting in this manner rather than the annual. Maybe I will again, Madam Chair, and allow the committee to ponder.
Thank you. That's the explanation, but we must also highlight to everybody that we must be consistent on how we deal with our issue on the issues of the resolution that we see in the process. Last week we had the members before us who may send them away, of which submitting a documentation in time of 7 days. And also the presentation, the system came before the committee was not official. So, as you can see, that is the first presentation on constant basis. So, on constant basis, and the contact of department and also our program in Parliament. Members of Parliament approved new meetings to say something in this aspect. As can be, we must contemplate and show you the department that we still have to be time to move what we need to other policies. Are there any comments on all of these people? Are you satisfied with the explanation?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. The team that I have sits all behind myself here. You've got Mr. Ashishwar right at the far end. He's our Chief Programs Officer. On him lies the great responsibility of writing and capturing all the programs and projects that the department deals with at the national as well as the provincial level. You've got Mr. Murray, Tommy Murray, who's our Chief Finance Officer. And then you've got Bayete, he's our Special Program Manager on CAS. We had indicated to the portfolio committee some time ago that we wanted a dedicated person to deal with these matters. He is the one then that when it comes to CAS will give all the greater detail that concerns that affair. We've got our Chief Communications Officer, Madam Sihule, Toto Sihule. And then here behind me, we've got the highlight in terms of what he's doing at our team, in terms of extension and training, as Mr. Mankaba, Chief Director of Sector Services. And then just immediately behind myself is Mr. Malachi to deal with livelihoods and support services. In under him lies the land reform, amongst other the financial services of our department. I think the other one is joining on to yourself in terms of our ministry. This members of the committee being our first exercise, we still have to settle ourselves in terms of the various formats on how we would be reporting or would make our dialogue with yourself first more effective in terms of what we are dealing with, and in terms of time, more economic. The communications officer here had something like 40 something or more than 45 available, but we thought that might be too exhaustive an engagement with yourself. So we thought if you would agree that we would be talking to the programs as are reflected on the screen, but highlight the summaries that you have on the document before yourself in terms of against these programs and against their key areas that they sought to deliver on, what has been the score. And we are taking a very crude one here, which you sometimes find elsewhere in the private sector. I'm going to be talking somewhat into this document that I'm raising here, where you've got a smiling face, a sad face, and a sort of neutral or green face. That's one process that you could indicate, or the other one you simply say done, not done, or work in progress. That we gauge ourselves on that. The other one, which has been reflected in this document, which because of the time again we're going to be focusing on, but again the committee could indicate that we gradually come to an agreement how we'll be engaging yourself here, is whether you could take this one and say out of a number of even deliverables as your target, you are completed those, and if not completed those, you still have work done, I mean in progress. But again, we work on those. Again, it's not, we're not settled, so we are open therefore to your guidance on that. Given that our explanation, even as far as program one, you would then see on the screen that out of the total of what that program sought to do, out of 9 in the first quarter that it sought to do, only 2 have been achieved, 7 are work in progress. Surely, on just that mathematical scoring consideration, this is not a good job done. It's less than 50%, in fact, even less than 70% achievement in terms of our work done. I won't go into the details, Madam Chair, but I think the document before yourself has the areas where work has not been done, work has been done, and work is in progress. And we could engage with yourself into the issues that are concerning there. That is in as far as the program one is concerned. Program two, out of 23 targeted deliverables, 13 have been completed and 10 are in progress. You could say with respect to that one, in comparison to the program one, this is a better performance because it's more than 50%, but it's still not a good, because you would have expected in this one still 100 being the score we would like to have achieved, which has gone beyond 50%. I think we might have been slightly above 60. Again, of key interest here, because this is a program that is very critical in the business of this department. You have in it agricultural finance, you've got into it the business and entrepreneurial development, you've got food security, international trade, marketing, production, economics. So it would be of interest to say where are the areas where less than desired performance has occurred. There is a zero where one work is not completed under the business and entrepreneurial development, which could then trigger a deeper stick between there analyze that. I'll leave that for the discussion so that we can quickly finish and go into the details of this. So here, better, slightly better performance, but still not yet satisfactory. In terms of program 3, the out of 17, the score is 8 completed, 9 to be done. This is almost on a 50-50, so the really performance is not good. I haven't got anything good about 70%, so this one is not good as well. In this area, to highlight, is the two problem areas here, the inspection and the food safety and quality assurance, as well as the disaster management, but that's a different area of focus, disaster management, because it's always in response to. But in the product inspection services, that's where you have our export, import, and administration services. That's where you have, in terms of food safety and quality assurance, our on the shelf, in terms of the media, you've seen on the shelf some food that is out of date, some of it is contaminated. So one could read something out of those statistics to say, could it be that indeed some of the problems are due to the either lack of performance in those areas or anything else that is there. But that would be a serious worry to interrogate the performance that is here today. It's 8, therefore, out of 17. We will go into the 9 as to which one could be completed, when it will be completed, and whether it will be completed. The next program is production and resource management. That one contains two key directorates of animal and aquaculture production and the genetic resources. Out of two that was expected to be done in terms of deliverables here, one completed and one in progress. So it's again just around 50%. We will interrogate Madam Chair again, as I've indicated earlier, the state of and reasons of the performance of this area. The last one would be the sector services and support and partnership. And here again, it doesn't seem to be changing much because it's one out of two and one target A. The statement there is not complete. I don't want to read whether it's still in progress or not. We'll interrogate in terms of the material that we have. The overall performance is that out of what we have set ourselves for this quarter to do, 53 total deliverables, 25 done. In progress, not done, 28. The general belief when we completed our process was that the 28 still could be done, but upon reflecting some of the issues, when we complete, we find that in fact they need not have been reported as a target area in the manner that we have. But again, because we've not yet completed this work, we still need to drill deeper into that piece of performance where work has not been done or is work in progress, so that we can determine whether in the remaining 3 quarters that we have, whether we will complete those, or if we can't, how will we deal with it, given the new circumstances, because it's likely that we might not decide, we might decide not to proceed with some of what we expect ourselves to do in this area. Let me give an example. We've discovered in some cases where this has slipped through our vigilant eye that some of the reporting had set a target, processes to be done. And through the guidance of both the Auditor General and some national treasurer, we've been advised that don't put processes as a target, put tangible results. If you want to vaccinate, if you want to drill boreholes, if you want to built, and if you want to write reports and conclude them, report on such things, but not processes that will be going to report to the portfolio committee, having an appointment with NEC so and so, and say that's a target. Report more around that. So that cleaning up, being a first process that we engage in, is in general with government, we're still in the process really of cleaning and perfecting this process, and still in progress itself. The address that I'm saying we received from the Auditor General and National Treasurer was made to Director General Fossard before. So that process in itself, in its infancy, we really making our way through. It's not affected in any sense in cabinet. Your whole has been dealing with some of these issues. So we are really bringing the process that still itself in its evolution. And I think, Madam Chair, that would be a very short way of presenting this with the discussion being expected in detail in some of the matters that are before yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I want to thank the DG for the document that he has presented to us, as well as his verbal report. Chairperson, with regard to food security, now in recent months, we have seen on the one hand food prices rocketing. In fact, it has rocketed at such a pace that it is becoming well nigh impossible for many poor families to even have one decent meal a day. Now, under this, what I would like to find out is there's been a lot of hype about biofuels and grains being utilized to be turned into biofuels. Have we in South Africa done a study, has the department done a study, taking into account our erratic climatic conditions, constant drought situations that we experience, whether we can really afford to convert food into biofuels, whether the department has done a study? Then, Chairperson, I noticed that there is an item here, international trade. Now, with regard to international trade, whether the department is actively engaged at WTO meetings when these issues, important issues, are discussed. And if the department is actively engaged, at what level is it engaged? Do we have a permanent representative there? Or do we have representatives who have to go down from time to time? We could get a sense of what's happening there. And may I also in that vein say that if one looks at some of the industries in our country which are busy going through a dip. You take, for example, your dairy industry, which has now become an importer of dairy products. It is said that they can import, the big cartels can import dairy from some of the countries that produce enormous amounts, like Australia, New Zealand, and others, at $3,900 per ton. And it would cost the local producer about 5,000 rand per ton to produce a ton of milk. Now, isn't this becoming a major problem? Because on the one hand, dairy farmers have been paid a reasonable amount of money for milk. Well, it went up from around 1.90 per liter to around 2.50 160 per liter. But on the other hand, the cartels are busy importing milk much more cheaper. Isn't that again going to see an exodus of dairy farmers in the country? And here I wish to remind us all that dairy farming is one of the avenues that I see which could see more emerging people, emerging dairy farmers involved. And my final question for this round here would be with regard to land reforms. I note here that in terms of land reforms, there are some figures mentioned that the department has been involved in the disposal of all unencumbered state land, and that the number of hectares that were disposed of by July 2007 is 10,000 hectares, and 2,200 hectares thereof are apparently those farms that were under Nkeha Farm in the Eastern Cape. Now, and then there are 17 portions in KZN that have been advertised, a total of 3,702 hectares. And in total, there's 5,902 additional hectares, I take it, to the 10,000 that has already been disposed of. If I'm incorrect, please tell me. Now, Chairperson, what I would like to know here is that when we as a department are involved in alienating land, what are the factors that we take into account? Do we do a case-by-case study of the proposed beneficiaries to determine whether those people have a flair for farming, or do we merely give it on the basis of first come, first serve? Because then we'll go back to square one, Chairperson. We need to identify beneficiaries who firstly have a flair for farming, and secondly, who need to be assisted by the department extensively in order to remain on the land and to make a success thereof, and also to make use of the commercial farming sector, where in certain instances, and here I want to mention my province, Free State Agriculture has put a plan on the table that's basically commercial farmers, to be of assistance to new incumbents. Whether the department has any knowledge of that plan, and if it does have any knowledge of that plan, whether the department has taken a stand as to whether it is going to make use of that plan or not. And then, Chairperson, with regard to the 2,200 hectares in the Eastern Cape that have already been allocated, could the committee be supplied with a list and also with the reasons why those particular people were allocated the land? And the 17 portions which have been advertised in KZN, whether we could, the committee could be given a copy of the 17 portions and where they are exactly located. And when you advertise, if you could give us a copy of the advertisement, so that we can apprise ourselves as to what you call in those advertisements. Thank you, Chair.
Remember that? Because in the beginning, it's my brother, not my coffee.
Oh, my brother.
Thank you, I haven't had time to study the document before, but thank you for the presentation. I think it is appropriate that we have documentation beforehand so that we have an idea, and rather go into a discussion than go through a long time spent just in looking through things that you can read. I've got a number of general questions to the department, basically. Firstly, we have a lot of rain at the moment. And
only yet.
In the Western Cape. The rest of the country is quite dry. The question of drought problems, and especially in terms of what policy is applied, and to what extent has this ground level with the agricultural sector? How do you accommodate both the developing sector, which has different problems with drought, and the commercial sector, which again has other problems with drought? Because I haven't seen any documentation in that regard. Then I would just like to know, in terms of the inspection services on our borders, and I have noticed that the department has given attention to that, but I'm still worried about the fact that with globalization and that products come into our country and it comes into these closed containers where you have to you inspect 2 containers out of every 100 type of things. People will make use of that fact that we do not inspect everything, and I have come across some products in certain areas which I think are wouldn't have passed if an inspector would have seen. The other one is in terms of our provinces. In terms of, we've had a number of outbreaks of animal diseases, and I know the problem regarding the interaction of the veterinary side of the province and the central department. But I'd just like to have confirmation again that that problem is sorted out, because veterinary diseases do not know provincial boundaries, and somewhere along the line there has to be a good coordination in that regard. But one department which I have been in contact with lately, and where there is a tremendous amount of frustration, is in the question of a subdivision of land. And where the Department of Agriculture, especially on agricultural land, I don't know what the problem is, but all the developers and all the people who deal with it are just, what's the English for voodoo? Yeah, and I had experience of where I followed one problem and it took about 3.5 years, the one, and the other one took 2 years. And I can present you with a list of phone calls, of letters, of follow-up calls, of assurances, of how many deaths each person had to phone to get a reply. And it is about 5 folios long, just for a simple type of, and it is up to this day still not resolved. Now, I mention this because I understand the problem in terms of the policy of government of today, on the one hand. But on the other hand, if there is a policy, it has to be applied. It can't just be kept going without giving an answer. So something is wrong in that department, and really something has to be done there. And I speak to you, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of this, that it has an economic impact on agriculture. If a farm is to be sold, and there has to be an agreement on this, and it just goes on and goes on, you query the department, nothing happens, you query, eventually it will end up on your desk, or on the official's desk, which are not supposed to work with. And in other words, this is a build-up, and I think that is one of the big frustrations which you really should address. Now, we're busy with land reform, and I think all of us are very eager in terms of land reform. But if I look at land reform as such, and the restitution actions which take place, I find that many of us are in dire straits for a number of reasons which nobody can take responsibility for or want to take, but that are not succeeding. And my question is this: to what extent has the department identified this concern in getting the knowledge? How does the department help in identifying the right individuals to whom land reform has to be, which will comply to land reform requirements, which can be trained, which can deal with the students. To what extent is there a sufficient support system from the department? And I know it's not the central department, it's the provincial department who are mainly have to deal with, but the central department cannot escape eventually also from this important service. And then in terms of the land debt, which has taken over agricultural credit from the Department of Agriculture. And you might remember that I warned that we will have serious consequences when this act is withdrawn, because it has an effect and a mechanism through which you can negotiate the finance of farmers, which were on the point of being sequestrated by banks who were not interested. And that measure is now gone. To what extent is the department thinking of bringing that back? Because the consequence of this is quite goes further than just the department. Land bank is in difficulties to a large extent because the agricultural finance, which was done by the Department of Agriculture, was given over to the land to do developmental work. And with all respect, they are not in, they cannot do developmental work. They are a finance bank in the open market, and in the end, everything falls flat. So eventually, this whole package is going to fall back to the Department of Agriculture in terms of subsidies and extension, which is a necessary component of well-planned reform. I'd like your comment on this, because I think this is the really pretty policy component. How are you going to do this? How are you going to dovetail into all these other departments which don't in on agriculture, but do not have the expertise which are in or supposed to be in the Department of Agriculture? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, I'm giving two short questions. And then the first question is on the animal and the aquaculture production. I'm saying the first question is on the animal and aquaculture production. Does understand that maybe something to do with maybe fishing or aquatic animals. One would like to know what is this problem, you know, if we could give more flesh to it. And then also considering those provinces which are dry, of course, which do not have water for such a problem. And then that, how is this program going to be implemented, or how is it implemented? Because from the program, one does see that maybe there were two and then one is implemented. And then secondly, the DG has clearly shown us, you know, Honorable Chair, it's good because we're talking about tangible issues that so much has been achieved and so much is still missing. But for a person of my caliber, I would request the DG to maybe pick up a program, let's say maybe program number one, and then on the monitoring and the evaluation under the directorate, what does it mean when you say two projects are completed and then three are in progress? What does this mean? Can we maybe analyze one of the programs and to say here where we have not completed, the progress is still ongoing, maybe what are the challenges? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I want to ask some questions and some comments on Mafisa. I just want to tell about an example that come across this this project, this land reform project, beneficiaries got about 2 million rand from Elrad Fund. And then a consultant got them a bank loan of 1.8 million rand. And the problem is that 1.8 million bank loan was, the term was 7 years the payback time. And the problem is that is 17,000 rand a month. This project is going to go under because of this. Now, coming back to Mafuta, which I heard, and that's one of the questions, please tell us, how much money is there in the Mafuta purse? Because this is the sort of thing that Mafuta should be doing over a 20 to 25 year period, and not only on that sort of period, but also on a softer basis, on a softer loan basis. Because, you know, it was really, I don't know how to put that. You talk to these people who are busy for 2 years now, and they're going to lose almost everything. Just because of the bank loan that cost them that amount of money. I've seen that you mentioned here that Mafuta was only tested in the Eastern Cape under the auspices of Ovimba, and only to the amount of 50 million rand. If you take that as a percentage of, as I heard, a million rand, that is very little. And then maybe we shouldn't call it a challenge, we should call it a major problem. The other thing, Madam Chair, is cash funds. Yeah. This same project, and I just give that as example, and it is quite widespread as I heard. They told us that there is cash funding to the amount of 400,000 available for this project. But they now need input, production capital. But this 400,000 ran from cash for a store, for a big store in the park. And they cannot get money for their production to produce. But they've got 400,000 rand for a big store. You see, that is so, I don't know how to put this, but that is, if you're talking about uncoordinated government support program, that is a very, very good example of that. And that is the sort of thing, and I don't know if this is the fault of this department. I don't know if this thing is the fault of this department only. I think your department, and I've talked to a lot of your officials on the ground, it seems that this coordination is coming from your brother or your sister department. And that should really be here. Thank you.
There was a business plan drawn up for that. And the person who did that wasn't a qualified as a cultural economist. He was a consultant. And to our knowledge, we get from the amount that Peter did pay over, he got, wasn't it 8%? 8% of that money was paid into his back in bank account. This is the type of thing that you get big, wonderful business plan, and the consultant gets a percentage of this, and then he just disappears.
But
say the question that to explain it now is the question that to ask the minister on question purposes that she is giving a copy. Honorable Dad, the man is a lot of
work. Yeah, thank you. My first question, sir, will be on your program 1 under table 1.1, the strategy planning under the government campaign priority areas delivery group. Strategy planning, you refer there to a planning report on a state of use on all this work in progress. Then the next question will be on the CAP, the livelihood development support. I wonder if you can just clarify for us in relation to work in progress allocations have been made to progress. An annual report will be prepared to indicate how many beneficiaries were reached during the year, suppose, under the URF. Your target is 7,000. It was increased from 7,000 to 80,000. It means at this stage, you don't know until the end of the financial year. So that is the implication of that particular paragraph there. I just want to check in terms of whether it can be done now or maybe in the next round when you come to us, that you prepare a nice breakdown, which is going to indicate per province the money that has been dispersed, the amount of money that has been dispersed to a province, and the money that has been spent by that particular province, and the balance which will be left, I suppose, at that particular time, so that we see the performance of each and every program. I want to link that with other performance indicators. We said number of emerging farmers and rural entrepreneurs. So, what can just give us a little understanding there? We are saying that 4,000 farmers and entrepreneurs, which are about 15 million rand, have been dispersed during this financial year, I suppose. Only in the case of the true Uber. I'm sure covered people will be happy that they are given for 15 million rand for him since he's coming from that area. The third question, sir, that I want you to assist me on is the program, I think the program, a difficult question, sir. I'll come to the question soon. It is on page code 12 of this document. Underfoot security. Underfoot security, you talk about monthly food security bulletin. I suppose the bulletin is a ready bulletin that I have there. We need to get it. My interest here is not a bulletin. It's a deliverable, as we said here. That you said this has been completed, statistics in brief. You just give us some more meat in terms of that particular issue so that we get to understand exactly where are you getting to this particular one. The next question will go on page 16, food control strategy. I think the same program, food control strategy, where indeed the abundant service providers to develop a country profile was completed in June, which is about 2 months ago, was completed in June. But if you look at your graph here, the target 2.8, that's right for me. It has been completed in June 2007, and the target is March 2.8. I suppose there's an issue, I don't know in terms of this one, whether you're waiting that session that you complete now, then you can complete it. But anyway, just clarify for me in terms of that one, so that we get to understand this approach that is required for food control system by Africa. In terms of the food control, what does that mean? Because I want to link this food control with the food price. Are we intending to embark on a price control or what? I don't know. This is just quickly clarify for us in that one. The last question, if you allow me,
would be on program, I think program 4,
table 1.9,
the comment against Medal of Justice, on page 21 of the document. Livestock support and mentorship program for black farmers. The target is 208, they are placed working problem. I'd like to know here whether do you have a test in relation to when support black farmers? Do we know how many black farmers we have? That will lead, of course, the number of the farm workers. Do we know how many farm workers we have in this country? I'm raising this issue in terms of the livelihood, but I'm sure even the farm workers, they fall within this category. But I appreciate if you can just give us some indication of that one. On page 22, infrastructure development in the program, biofuel. Yeah, it's a last one, yeah. I think it's last one now. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's in terms of the infrastructure database, that page 7207. Talk about the map. That this map that we have here is a map that has been identified, that has been identified specifically for the biofuel production. This map is for me, if that is the case. If that is the case, are you in a position to tell us which areas are you identifying for that particular project? Or for the research project? And within that, maybe you can just inform us, when are you intending to come to the committee and brief the committee about the biofuel strategy plan so that we get to understand, because farmers like my brother Cry here will be happy, because I see the farmers, they are very much in about this biofuel. But anyway, it's neither here nor there now in terms of this one. The last step is accepting officers. You are raising under sector service in table 1.12, performance against members. Measure of justice, okay. March 2.8, approval of the plan by sector partner. In terms of this one, GG, that we have been complaining about the extension officer. That we hear that there are extension officers, and we don't know, and we don't see what they are doing. Can you please brief us in terms of this particular issue? How many extension officers do we have? And I'm also informed by some sources, which are mentioned still in the sources, that you are intending to have what we call the accepting officers conference, summit, whatever you call it. And I would appreciate if on record that the committee can be advised accordingly and when, so that we can participate on that. The reason I'm raising this issue here, you are aware that we just had the swine fever now, which I suppose is the and there has been a lapping disease also, which I'm assuming that these excess officers were supposed to be directly responsible in terms of monitoring that and in terms of assisting these repaired black farmers and also the white farmers, our comrades. So that I want to just know the role of these excess officers, how they have been tried in terms of their censorship.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for the question. If you allow me to answer some and also defer some questions to some of my colleagues, on the food security, I would like Mr. Malachi to handle that. And he also should take matters regarding land reform around Mecha and around Sondela in terms of State Farm and the areas that the list is wanted for. And I think even he has the answer that we will make available the list and matters concerning those two farms which belong to the state and we are disposing of them. It would also cover, therefore, the selection criteria, and this would also link up with some of the questions raised by Dr. Nels, if I'm correct, and Dr. Van Nicker around the, not on conversation, but the interplanarian acumen of the people that come on the land. But for this one, I want Mr. Malachi to answer on the criteria as well as the support services that we see. I also would like on the aquaculture, I'll have to take that one. Mr. Malachi to take the issue around Mafisa. And I have Mr. Caspi here who will deal with all the issues around Caspi because he's our special program manager. And Mr. Swart will deal with Pisa. I'll deal with the issues of biofuel. Let me answer that one and say yes. In as far as the mapping is concerned, this department, in terms of the overall government program, have given three tasks within the intergovernment departmental committee that consisted of National Treasury, Department of Minerals and Energy, Department of Trade and Industry, and National Treasury. The function that it was given on was one, to determine which suitable land would be ideal for producing what we call feedstock to the biofuel industry. The second one would be which crops would be involved. And the third would be dealing with what they call farmer mobilization or liaison, so that you really get the farming community on board. We completed every aspect regarding the suitability of the land area as well as the crops. The suitability covers by and large, and here we are focusing on specific crops, but it covers by and large your maize or your summer grain area. That would be your Northwest, your Free State, your Mpumalanga, and some of the focus. That's the key areas there, and it covers some types of KZN and Eastern Cape with respect to sugar. And Mpumalanga also would come in with the sugar cane. I'm already there for buying. That same statement I've made said that sugar is one of the crops. Soya is the other crop. Maize is the crop, the other crop. There has been also the inclusion of sunflower on what's this crop in the Eastern Cape here? The
wheat.
Not the wheat, the
canola,
yes. The general position role of the biofuel task team has been that in South Africa, we expect we would take all crops, so it's food and non-food that could come. But by and large, in the case of South Africa, really, most of the products that are available for this are really your food crops. And we then don't have all the experience, and in terms of the government policy, the time to allow other products that are non-food. And on non-food, read, members, particularly the diatropa, has been thrown on to us as a country very strongly to say we should consider diatropa. India is very strong and uses it and is exclusively saying only non-food. But in South Africa, it would have meant then what we have at the time delay of allowing that product to come through. That one. Two, against our policy, we would be allowing an earlier plant to come on board, and it has met the problem on that score. So we have opened up only to the food product that we have. There is great debate here as to whether in so doing we are rendering ourselves vulnerable to all the risks that would way late, I just want to actually kind of say, talking to an agricultural community and in South Africa, he said, it can't both ways. In general, take the current situation where the price is producer, let's talk at it from the producer side, and the prices are increasing. This is good news for our farming community. The main prices, soya increasing, and it allows a series of farmers to then actually meet some of their costs and problems that they've had with low prices. So it's good. The rise in terms of prices from the producer side. The key issue that has to be dealt with there, though, is whether this price and the benefits that it brings spread across, that it allows those that have not either to be involved to come up with it. That's from the producer side. And this phenomenon worldwide, we now have the impact of the biofuels because it's hitting the American market. The American economy is the dominant, it holds the rest of the prices worldwide, and we are beginning to experience that. As I said, from the producer side, this is actually good. But even from the producer side, it might mean something from the input. If so, they will have to manage that. It's from the consumer side where the issues are arising. To say what does it mean for the name, that is now likely to be shifted there. And there they come in that balance. We believe that in no time this high producer price might be leveled off by the response, and our farmers are no exception. If they increase their output, that will keep on the supply, and the supply will begin to dampen the prices. If this economics that we are told will begin to work themselves in there. So in the short term, you will have an increase in prices. The study MP like has been conducted among us in this area to see that we would indeed get a high price for the consumer prices, but over time, with the response from the farmers to increase their production, we are estimating that it will begin to dampen that. It will influence even our producers to react in that manner, and then the prices will go down. We would not recommend the government to come big time in terms of intervening there, because it's just one of those cycles, one that we're operating at a higher level. We would admonish the members to acknowledge that, as it's been said across this market worldwide, that prices tend and will be tending to go up from now on, because there are adjustments due to the world trade and some other issues. Maybe I've gone too lengthily here because this matter is a new phenomenon in the agricultural sector, where you've got a new technology that is either to not be dealt with. A demand, literally that is inexhaustible in terms of what it is. That's there for crops for provision. So that's not the element that is. It's a new sector. We're still not yet there in terms of dealing with it. At the moment, this is what it is doing. If I go back to the other areas of international trade, because I've already touched on it, MD Abraham, is that we are intimately involved at an international trade level with all that we can. We have in Geneva a permanent representative and an expert in international trade in the name of Kanda Pandey. Nobody in our department other than her knows the issues that she does. She is on top of the matter daily involved in the Department of Trade and Industry. Ourselves there and engaging with all the other partners that are involved there. So we're quite comfortable that she monitors, handles those matters as well as reports to the department, the ministry, and the country as a whole in as far as dealing with the WTO matter. We also work very closely with the DTI in this area. So we're fairly comfortable that at a director level we are well. But every time we have typical world trade negotiations such as we had in Hong Kong and Cancun, the South African delegation is led at our level by the minister, on our side by the minister. And you have the director general and the top official supporting the minister of agriculture together with the DG High Minister. So really, at a critical time, we have representation. At these normal processes, we also have our officials there. And in daily operations, we are there to really interact. Time and again, of course, some matters do arise where we need to bring to the attention of the DGI and its institution some issues of critical importance to the sector. Tariff is one of them, where there needs to be some adjustment and sensitivity to some of the issues that the DGI might not be alive to. We bring that to the attention. I think this International Trade Administration we've recently agreed with the DGI that they would allow our national agricultural marketing council to have a bigger say in terms of the reception output. And here, the Deputy Minister of the is very sensitive and actually receives the advice and counsel of the NAC and our own director of marketing. I think we could assure the message that the community membership here that he will be quite comfortable. The dairy industry is a very serious area where you've got some problems. The problems are diverse in nature, but the bottom line is that over the past 12, 10 years, we've lost half of the farming community that was involved. From 7,000, we're now down to 3,000. And we have some concentration on the one hand of the value chain in this industry, where you now have practically four key players determining the price and demand and the rest of the rest of the value chain. We met with the dairy industry last week, the top management in Howick came there, and that was following the discussion the minister has had with the milk producers organization. What we set up as a follow-up was that we would address all the issues around the value chain and come up with a program of action and dealing with it. The way we received it is that the opportunities in the industry are immense. In terms of demand in the next 5 to 10 years, South Africa actually needs demand will outstrip its production. And so the opportunities are there that you could really have all that you want. So we would like to have those opportunities benefiting the domestic producers rather than as we've now been told by some of the players that they want to import, some are already imported. We would like to really ensure that doesn't occur. Among us to address some of the problems that they we've got our own views, but the team that has been established on both sides by government and the players in the nation is that you come in three weeks' time with a concrete program that will be approved by the minister and the farming community. We believe that it includes a range of issues, including importation, clarification, support, encouraging cooperative development, reducing the concentration of the decays that are taking place along the way. We would not like to come up with specific measures at the moment because these are being looked at by all the parties concerned. But we're very worried about it. Already some reports have come from the Commission, the Competition Commission, the NAMC has addressed this matter. So we believe we could really come up with something that ensure that we move away from the high prices and the shortages. In as far as the question around drought is concerned, there is a disaster management plan around drought in particular. And it's addressing both, in my view, the commercial and emerging Yesterday we had a meeting between the minister and the leadership of the farming community, where it was agreed that we've got to speed up this process so that we quickly deal with some of the issues that are at hand here. Dr. Van Winkel would know indeed that in this area we had gone up to the extent where we had proposed actually a special insurance mechanism here. We couldn't succeed to get through from National Treasury because I think there were details around the subsidy element that the government needed to come in support of that. If that would have gone through, I think we would have dealt with some of the issues. So we have to, take a detour here and approach it in a different manner. We may not yet come out through this, but it's a continuous problem. Inspection services is the one that brings us serious worries. You would remember that the outbreak of the classical swine, they call it African swine fever, the suspect has been the swill coming from the ship. And on that one lies a key role for inspection services. You remember that, and many of you have seen that we've got dogs on our ports and elsewhere, but they can do so much. And yet it does mean that we've got to really boost this area very, very, we've got to boost it very much to ensure that we don't allow. Among others, we've got to do it now, so rather than just inspect the field, just forbid it altogether. Because the risks are too great, and the occurrence of this disease is too much. So rather than just control it as we've done before, we really move into a year of suffering altogether. The landing of the ship into, because you allow it before it used to be disposed of by the landing landfill, but before it could be managed across by adhering to the farming community. You're thinking and decide the capital to stop it altogether because of the risk that this entails and the damage to our trade line. That we believe would manage amongst others the provincial outbreak. With respect to that question, if I understood Dr. Paninkas, Madam Chair, was that we also come in with another measure where the minister will be talking to the NEC in terms of introducing a different protocol of managing the disease. The disease we are now going to be classifying them as they are classified internationally, but it's called unnotifiable disease. Your foot and mouth, your African swine fever, alien flu, all of those that are called notifiable, we raise them to the national level and they are handled at that level. But really, once an outbreak occurs, we deal with it immediately rather than our system at the moment where we tend to say or look over our provincial counterparts to say they'll be handling these matters, and yet they lay us open to some of the challenges the EU, our main trading partner, has said they are not compatible with such a system. So we're really falling in line with an international standard that is the national system that is accountable and expected as the authority. We believe that would help us a great deal to obviate and address some of these problems that the EU report. Three of them have been raising to us very, very seriously. The standardization of land. May I please, Madam Chair, that maybe we take the details from Dr. Faneke and then follow up and report to him in terms of progress. And the committee will look at it, Madam Chair. The overall point, though, that could be made on this one is that if the act that we are calling SUPER, Sustainable Use and Protection of Agricultural Resources, comes to play, the subdivision of land would actually become, would follow. And the two experts are going to deal with it is that one, the super, as we call it, and the one of land affairs called land use management. If these come in defend that this law is impossible. Not that the interest of the agricultural sector would be done away with, but to protect the remaining to ensure that agricultural land is not lost to the sector by it being converted to other manager. The other manager here that we believe could address this issue of Honorable Banigel is the way where we are trying to improve the system before yourselves of increasing our standards of service delivery. Here it is addressed as the time issue that you have been process of ensuring that when the matter is raised, it doesn't take more than 3 minutes to get an answer whether it's approved or not approved. Secondly, it cannot be acceptable that the matter should run for years, let alone months. So, Mr. Van Marais, who's actually dealing with the issue of standards of service delivery, where we are timing ourselves, we receive a letter, how soon do we answer it? We receive an inquiry, how soon do we answer it? We're trying to keep up with certain standards amongst ourselves and keep monitoring that issue. And let me touch on the issue, which I think that's my last one before I hand over to my colleagues. The issue of the land bank. And I'm addressing in the following manner, Madam Chair. We don't know what we are hearing from cabinet, and particularly from Treasury, whether it's good things that will come, but it is any yardstick, then we should be happy in part, given what we have, from what Dr. Panikel was raising. This is what we've been hearing in general from National Treasury, starting with the Minister of Finance. He has come down several times in cabinet and elsewhere to say agriculture needs to be supported in Africa. And he says we should identify areas without throwing in his words what he says money in the drain, but we've got to find ways of supporting agriculture in line with what is happening worldwide. And I think from that perspective, we've had some good things coming from here. The DG Treasury also has come this way in a similar manner. If that happens, it's possible then that maybe not in the same manner as the Agriculture Credit Act was doing, we could then have a stronger set of measures that would be kicked in about agriculture. I can't go beyond that, except that the climate seems to be extremely positive from that side. What we then are doing from our side in the department is to quickly put a package which we've got to present to cabinet and to the cluster systems to say where are those supports needed to be done without, as I say, throwing money and going in a negative way in the past as it was done, but there are very good things that we've done in the past where the support to the sector was done and we just let it go. That's as far as I can go. Whether we go to the extent that Section 21 and Section 28 of the Agriculture Credit Act did, I'm doubtful on that score. But I think it will come as close as we do in the case where we ensure that farmers don't get neglected in terms of their media support, as well as the disaster management. I would leave it here, Madam Chair, and just let my official, my colleagues come on here.
The question relates to the word PIMSA, which is an acronym for Project Information Management System for Agriculture. It's a web-based system which the National Department of Agriculture developed, and we are populating it with project information. The intention is partially also my the reason for the position that I'm on now, is to improve project management capacity. I would get on as far as saying not only for the national sector, but in the sector. So we would like to, through the project information management system, deal with the knowledge management aspect of project management. So it's not entirely a project management system, but it's a system where we can populate with project information and can add on a periodic basis or half yearly information about the progress of projects on in terms of their targets and milestones. Maybe I could just say that what we've decided to do for this year is to populate first the database. Those items that you saw on our reports, which are called deliverables, and which all have a time limit, namely they have to be delivered in a particular quarter, we have decided as an exercise to improve our handling of projects, to deal with them as projects which we register on Timsa. That's the one group of projects. And the other group of projects would be all the individual CAP projects that have been approved by the minister this year, for this financial year. So the provinces have worked with my colleague in front of me, to provide us with individual project information. And through this, we hope we will also not only improve the knowledge management and about the project, but actually also be able to, glean certain generic information or aggregate information. So that's what. Maybe a long answer, but that is our web-based system, which we will also provide once we've captured this information on CAP. Projects will be provided back to the provinces as well, and they'll be able to interact directly with that system. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you, Sam. From my side, I think there are two areas to respond to from Honorable MP Zani. Whether we can be able to provide allocation, cap allocation, expenditure, the profit. Yes, we can provide that. And over and above that, can be able to provide even the output achieved and beneficial support it, or farmer support it. I think we can be able to do that. We've been doing it since, and I think if I could be able to go since the beginning of this quarter, I think we have spent from CAP over 50%, but that is not enshrined in this report. But that is what has been done in terms of settlement. CAP over the last year was settlement where we believe that we just need to concentrate now on the quality of spend. Which we moving forward on that matter as well. To quote a few highlights, this financial year, this quarter, we targeted about, for example, irrigation systems about 94% to be put in provinces generally. But out of that 94 indicators which we put there, we have implemented or work in progress already. About 50% of those indicators have been started throughout the country. Out of 57 different tents that we're targeting nationally, I'm making an example. we've already initiated and implementing about 15 of those. I think also what is important is that out of this highlight is that some of these activities are of long term for the first quarter that you'll be reporting now. But an activity or an output for this structure, we've already completed two. I'm making two examples that we're looking at beyond the actual experience and we need to see how it was spent regarding Honorable MP Nell, for 400,000 farmers, 400,000 that will be given to the farmers. Insofar as that means I was really looking at many ways. This might be that there's never coordination, but we are saying that the provinces should actually look at contributions by the farmers themselves, and also they must look at the allocation between farmers, set aside between CAF 10% to security, which within that farmers or the food essential communities are able to utilize it throughout. They must be given new food and so forth and so on and so forth. But from the provincial side, if the farmers can contribute from their side so that they can take responsibility for their farm and so on, that from the massification programs, then they can be supported. So there are a lot of things we don't know anything about the farm. Then there are a lot of things that might be there. It might be that there's a lack of coordination, or it might be that that is certified for coordination. It might be for coordination. It might be that it's coordination rate. I think the last one was the issue of beneficiaries. From the MP entirely, again, 87,000, and whether or not that will be reported at the end of the year or at the end of the project. This is only 3 months that we have started, and so the project has not been completed, output has not been completed. It's difficult to say so many years, you know, I suspect that what it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I don't have a question to your mind before the next question. In terms of the city, if you allow me.
Just that question, I think I mentioned chapter 51 now. We ask questions, chapter 51. Because of the many questions which were asked by the members. Now, if there's going to be follow-up, then it means we never ask questions. And the other members, I'm sure, whose questions have been responded to, did want to make follow-ups. But they didn't, because they wanted to allow other members to continue.
They are also on the policy, because the first one didn't indicate that one to ask questions.
I do not understand your question, because I have my hand up and you never called me.
But
and the secretary can tell you that.
The minute I give over to Honorable DC, I said, if there are no any hands, then I'll give over to DC, but you're quiet. That's why I'm saying all the other people
that told
me to recognize you in the first round and you didn't take that you are one.
What's the concern? The concern was the follow-up, because there have been members who I think might have wanted to ask follow-up, but they didn't, because there were so many questions which were put up to this to the official. And by Sami.
Continue,
please. Is the chapter now? Thank you very much, Mr. Sami, for your assistance. Chapter, unfortunately, we're not on the cast. I was going to ask something on the cast. I've got a problem with the operation of the cast. Because what happens is that you get a farmer applying, say, for instance, for fence, for holding pens, for roads, for dams, and small irrigation systems. But the money allocated to that farm fence will only put up fence and holding pens. And for another 5-6 years, that farm will never be able to participate in cash again. Now, is that factor not money wasted because now we have not put up all the structures or infrastructure that farm needed? Is it a way to give it after what he wanted and we forget about him for another 5 or 6 years? That's according to my first question. My second question is, we talk about Mapisa, and what I wanted to know, we said it was a pilot in Pondoland, Eastern Pondoland or whatever you call it. Is it still a pilot? And it is still a pilot. For how long is this still going to be final? And how successful is your piloting now? My third question would be, if we go to slide 15 on page, it should be page 8, but there's no page on this page. Slide 15, the last bulletin, chairperson. If we can expand a little bit about the promotion of broad-based black economic empowerment. If we can expand a little bit and indicate as to where one can find this, especially if I were to be in Eastern Cape. Where could I find this in Eastern Cape? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Yes,
in terms of the response around the assembly cup, you said that what 94 irrigation schemes that has been built by Clark. The follow-up is relating to the North High Irrigation School. I think Comrade Abraham will remember. I think it was the 22nd Farmers Week of June, when I think the MEC was interviewed, if I'm correct with that. Where he indicated, in fact, in that aspect, that there are still serious problems there. I want to admit you are brief in terms of these processes, but I'm sure the 94 that you have mentioned, they did not have anything with the part of those 94. If I just brief us in terms of your understanding, but the last step has been followed up from. Yeah, no, I believe we come back after that was in the follow-up will be on DG, but we'll come back to the DG later. Around the power point.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would request that Mr. Raete answer some of the issues around the cut as a follow-up. And then that will cover also more. And then the official also, I'm seeing Mr. Swart wanting to come in on this one, but then also Mr. Mangazana to come in on the issue of the extension officer's conference that is in the office. Ending up with Ms. Malachi to address some of the NECA as well as on the energy issues on state farm black people. I wonder, Madam Chair, with the issues around us finding a way on how we could dialogue on the format of this reporting to yourself, which is our spec, so that the people can find our city. For them here, we follow the guideline of him in Guna to say, if we're to talk to Guna Katina Man, how do you deal with it? But I'll find out on some happen. But that would be a very helpful to us. With your permission.
What needs to be said is the cat, the actual cat as we know it, the cat Dora allocation, Division of Revenue Act allocation. If you compare that with what the provinces have for support, you will see that cat itself is only about 14-15% of the total support. You can analyze it in different ways. We often talk about CASP as though that is the all-encompassing support to agriculture. It is not. It is only a small part of. However, we recognize, I think, that CASP has become, because its name, you know, CASP being comprehensive, it has become sort of a brand name, which has gone through some learning curve, I should say. We reviewed CASP at the beginning of the year, or the end of last year, comprehensive review of it, picked up a number of the sort of issues that have been raised also by your committee, and we engaged with the provinces and have decided to rebrand CASP as the comprehensive sort of response or support package to support what we are now doing in terms of Kajima and fast-tracking and providing universal support. But I would like to say that CASP has six pillars, which you may know of. One is technical and advisory services, one is information and knowledge management, the other one is training and capacity building, the other one is financing, which is essentially really that pillar you could consider Mafisa as being one of, you know, the strength of that pillar. On and off-farm infrastructure services, and then the sixth one is marketing and business development. Now, what we did when we started off with CASP was to concentrate on one of these six pillars, namely on and off-farm infrastructure. And if you look at the actual spending over the years, you can see that a very large portion, certainly more than 80% from my ethic and say what that number is, but certainly a whole, I think it's more than 80% of the previous spend was for infrastructure. We recognize, and the review shows, that we need to unpack the other pillars. So what we have done is to rebrand CASP as being a comprehensive national and provincial support system, if you wish. We have looked at, and I'm pleased that Mkululi will be able to respond to the extension recovery plan that we're putting into place. We've done research and now we're unpacking the technical and advisory service pillar to the extent of saying we now know what is needed and we're going to Treasury for additional funds for that. We have, in a sense, unpacked the financing pillar, and I think there will be some response on Mafisa. But I think if one looks at CASP as a broader package, you'll see that we have lacked actually this unpacking. And there you also get this sort of disjuncture between, now there's infrastructure available through the DORA, there's 400,000 rand available maybe for infrastructure because that's what was available from the National Department through the CASP. And yet the province has not added maybe the other elements a comprehensive system. For example, production inputs. There is a question mark around production inputs in the whole philosophy of CASP made by contractors. We would like to see a much more comprehensive and interactive system where support systems really, all these pillars are actually talking to each other in a better way. And that's where I think Ray is saying we're looking at the quality now of spending. We've seen the spending pattern going up, so we're really wanting to look at that improved interaction between these pillars and also the quality of spending to be improved.
Just one
little
question.
Yeah.
Do we want to address now? Are you trying to address the issue of coordination between national and the provinces?
I think if I can leave the response to Mukuriri when he responds on the extension, you'll see the way we're addressing it. It's actually the first time in a long time. I'm not sure. I can't remember when this has happened. That we've actually jointly sat down and said we as agriculture sector, national and provincial, require now, except when we started with CAP, we've now got a joint sort of a proposal with regard to additional funding for ourselves and the provinces on an extension recovery plan. So it is indeed to improve this coordination. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. There's a point in my attention. I think the first thing that I want to emphasize is that we have known to tell them for occasional advisors the way we moved on first, which we agreed upon with the provinces. And this number standard basically we emphasize, you know, looking at what are the competences that a person that the functional extension should have in this country. What are the ratios of extension to farmer? Looking at the commercial, the communal, crop mix, livestock farming, and that also agreed in terms of those ratios. And then also we looked at what is the role of the national department in terms of extension, what's the role of the province, what's the role at local government level. And that was agreed in terms of that was agreement that was adopted. Then our second mix then was to say, just go back and profile our extension against the normal standards. And we did the profiling of attention. And that profiling, one of the things that gave us was to say, the candidates got about 2,210 attention officers. And when we looked at the ratios that you have put to a benchmark against international norms, we realized that we had a shortfall of about 5,000, which would have been in the region of 7,000 attention officers. There are issues that when we look at the competence, we find that about 1,172, which is 80% of the 2,210, were underqualified to function at the level of advisor services. And again, within this education I'm talking about, you need to have the project management training, you know, ICT skills. Those were some of the things that, and if you look at the status of the whole, in terms of the cost supporting the beneficiaries. That was a big shortcoming. And the other issue that we identified was that neither of the provinces had attended a specific unit that is in charge of. It was being handled sometimes at the road trade level, some of it at South Geneva. As a result, one of the conclusions that we made is that maybe one of the reasons that the state is not getting much focus because there's no specific unit in the provincial department. And as a result of that, some provinces already started establishing up territories that are being attention to extension. That's another part. But now, having done the profiling against the number of talent, what the next thing was, what do we do next? And the obvious issue around coming up with the extension improvement or recovery plan was one of the issues that we in terms of the financially. And obviously this plan then required also to be funded. So what I just talking about is that the options that we worked with the problem. That one we know that we cannot actually hire 75,000 at one go. Our human resource that we have won't allow that. We then agreed that we will go at a rate of about 1,000 officials a year if this funding comes through. And we'll arrange a buffer that means in terms of part-time studies of the officers in order to upgrade their qualification on a part-time basis over a period of 3 to 4 years. It was said that it is by unit 10, we said about 50% that we were going to study this like this. They should have actually work through to complete their degrees. We've already had arrangement with some of the universities to say how can they upgrade their diplomas without actually being required to start afresh. That arrangement has already been in place. Now what? And then the other element of it is basically to say we'll be training about a certain number of decision officers on a yearly basis on project management and ICT skills. But we are those that are attached to programs like GASP, and supporting the fulfillment of my vision and all the life. Now, then what you were saying now in terms of going forward, we obviously wanted to get some input to various stakeholders in our city. Around one of the biggest challenges is how to make a city more accountable, being a service that is rendered in the outskirts. So what we are putting, we put together sort of a discussion document. What is our thinking as a department in terms of how to be really, who can improve the changes, especially making it accountable. But some of the things that I've already mentioned here are elements of that performance improvement plan. So we've then agreed that there should be some form of a standing summit where we put forward this discussion document. Especially where we need some solutions around how to make a change accountable in to farmers in particular. Because for the situation when for the decision officers has been allocated there, for example, but that decision officer sometimes not known that particular locality that has been allocated there. So you get those guys. So some ideas around that. So we'll be organized this summit, and we have actually requested the minister to give us a date. So when that date becomes available, I think the whole process of invitations will be discussed accordingly. Maybe just the last part is the part of the question, say how the distribution of the change of the I would say that the Limpopo for the KKK, they have about, out of the 2,210, they have got about 1,600, that is about more than 60% are sitting in those provinces. But again, this where you also find a lot of underqualified education officers in the same area. So the rest of the country share is very, very, very small. So it's very, very huge on three provinces. Thank you.
1,599.
Limpopo is 657, and Eastern Cape is 22, and Kenya is about 310. But those figures, the recruits are done people this is LS, April, when we collected this data this year.
I'm going to be responding to issues around food security, climate change, my future, and the issues around relations criteria on the land of farm beneficiary. Just on land reform to say that this agriculture is the portfolio of land that we have to manage, the portfolio of agricultural state land that we call PALA or ADMA. But the land that we as government are getting back from those who got money from the ancestors before us and want to take it to stay back. So as we get those funds back, we dispose them further to land for beneficiaries. There are other categories of stakeholders that are very rich. Minister of Land and Budget, Delegation Fund. The category of land that we are managing is under the Minister of Public Works in terms of delegation. That's the reason why the minister approved some delegated the power of action to the collector in the public culture for those other categories of art for them to be disposed of. But this one, I'm sure the reason being that the delegatee may not delegate further. It's still with her. And once we dispose them, we recommend the Minister of Public Works for final disposal. And that's one of the challenges that we sometimes find, because it takes time for us to get final approval. But in terms of the statistics that we are working on, we have some in Mexico, which are under the our species. And these are the properties that we just hold up to land reform beneficiaries around that area. They've been given permission to occupy now until we get the final approval from the Minister of Public Works. I think we hope that those will be the same beneficiaries, because those are the beneficiaries that have been screened and recommended for the occupation of those farms. And then there are these other farms in Kwazulu Natal, which have been advertised. process is underway to finalize the report. The selection criteria, we look at various things. Whether that form as it is, we also have to look at the social aspect and the economic part of it. The social aspect is in the sense that if a farmer or a farm worker has been in that farm for some time, when we consider the food of the farm, that certainly is given the first priority. With the hope that he will get an extra support for him ahead in the payment, irrespective of whether we can see the potential benefit. Because once you start moving him out of the first time, you need to have a problem. But we acknowledge that it also makes the point that we have got the funds to be sustained. The question on the construct with the food security, I think that was a specific question. And because the specific target set for the first cost, we refer that as food security is related. Those are the reports, the issues that set a direction within the problem that we have to do. The bulletin that comes out from the planet with reports about the food security issues in the country. So that was the deliverable within the food security. The questions from Masika are, I'm going to respond to all the questions that asked by honorable members. The last one being from the honorable Vicky being whether we still find him or what is the situation. And that I'm sure will also cover with the other questions. Masika was piloted for 12 months. And at the end of the 12 months, the there was an instruction from the minister that maybe we should look and evaluate the pilot before we roll over to other problems. And that process happened from the beginning of January until towards the end of May or mid-June. And the report and progress are available. Then we have prepared some reports. Once we move out to other problems, how are we going to move? And that's the process that we are engaging. So we are moving to other problems. Now we are moving out of the pilot period with Mpumalanga, Mpopo, which is Kukume, Eastern Cape, Wasambo, KwaZulu-Natal, and Kibo. We are moving out of those pilot areas, and now we're going to other problems. In terms of the target, we have set the first caution. The report says we dispersed 15 million, but two would be my and the 15 case. And because the money that was allocated to NSF, we had to stop when the investigation was going on. And the money that was with so Ubimbo was asked to continue. That's why the first cost, the 2 months of the year, the disbursement was offered only from Ubimbo. And the rest of the money which was given with lenders, had to wait until the audit was concluded. So that's the reason why the first cost only looked at all the different cases and the disbursement only from Ubimbo.
Madam Chair, there were some questions which I think we can quickly finish up. The one around the livestock support, the statistics of black farmers, farm workers. The last time, in as far as the statistics are concerned, was that the number of farm workers has dropped from 1 million to around 800,000. But there's a little bit of a debate at the moment to say this number keeps on fluctuating. The recent report I've been receiving, but we have to verify it, is that actually the number has gone up again to around 1 million of the farmers, of farm workers.
what's complicating some of the issues here is that we tended to have a change in the composition of what in general would be called the farm workers, where you have the permanent and what you call seasonal labor, seasonal workers. The number of the seasonal is increasing, and the permanent, the number of the permanent actually is decreasing. Amongst others, some people within who are focusing on this matter are saying this is one of the factors that is accounting for what is called the evictions. Because some of these permanent people that have been living on the farms under various forms of tenure, and now they are actually living either for former homeland areas, like locations, rural towns, and going into the metropolitan areas. Mm-hmm. The number of black farmers, again, also differs. There is a number that is floated around of something like 3 million. Which is said to be in general the what is called persistent farmers. If you check the sector plan, you'll find this number floating around. And then you have 240,000 that is said to be your small or persistent farmers. And then, I think, what is the other number of your small scale? That's your 40. I'm leaving the commercial farmers. The one that's generally known. The number, Madam Chair, of the commercial farmer is generally known as having declined from something like 60 in the 90s to around 45 now. Even in that one, as you can sense, there is a decline in general. But the number of statistics that we've been asking both Fed South Africa and our own statistical services to estimate is the one of the emerging and the black farmers in general. As I say, if you round it up to just around 3 million, you then have to say this is what you say, your subsistence, your small, and your emerging, your number type of farmers who are around 100,000 or so. But again, we handle these figures with great care, because it's really not so much a thumbs-up, but it's estimates. We're getting these and this, and said South Africa is trying to come in and help us with some centers on it. That is the numbers, in as far as the numbers are concerned. In terms of food content, the commercial farmers is 45,000. That's the number we are now working around with the commercial sector. Thank you, ma'am. The 240 would be your emerging, your NAFU type of, but even NAFU, when they give you the figures, the last time we really pressed them, they couldn't give us more than 30,000 of what is on their broad book. And then the one that is really taking from the former homeland areas is really numbering around 3 million. Surely in terms of owning livestock and doing something, it's really a working estimate that one's likely to know if we were to embark upon a heavy program. The other issue, Madam Chair, was the food control. The food control is not, the food control that is food safety. Yes. That's why I was fighting in this regard the issue of the food on the shelf, where the sell by date and the quality of the food you noticed last time when the TVs were reporting some meat were in a very terrible state. For human consumption. That's really what we are alluding to here in terms of food control. Two departments are handled with food control and quality, food safety and quality measures here. Health department and ourselves, and the meeting of a food safety agency, which we are discussing between ourselves and the health department. We hope to come through to cabinet by the end of this year. Now I'm reading the
country profile completed target by 2008. I was not sure whether that number is a mistake or if something is going to happen. We'll look into that in the MC honorable line. I think the bulletins have been addressed, Madam Chair. I won't go into that one. The last one on my list here is the one where MD Nguna was saying, could we pick up an example, maybe before that one, on the animal and aquaculture. I can't remember now, I'm written on my note here, how is that to be done, on the animal and aquaculture. If you could still assist me, ma'am, on this one, I'll come into them. But in as far as this new reporting, which you are starting with yourself, we're slightly excited as a department, but also we would like to get a feeling from the committee in how we could report on it. If I would, I don't know whether all the members have got this report, not the PowerPoint one, what we have done when we are presenting here in the PowerPoint, I jumped onto page 5, table 1.2, where I immediately focused on out of a number of the deliverables said to be targeted, how much did we achieve and how much did we not achieve, how much is in progress. From the question arising from the members, it would seem that greater discussion needs to be done. And if you flip over to page 4, you get a little bit of the details where then you get into what has been completed. If we look into that which has been completed in page 4, and look into monitoring and evaluation quarterly organization performance report. 1, 2, 3, 4th row from the top, it says completed. We are supposed to be providing quarterly organizational mid-year departmental report has got to be completed. So we've done that bit, which we are now reporting to yourself. The one that is not completed, you have just next to that one I've reported, it says work in progress, and it gives an indication on the narrative what is happening in terms of directorate is awaiting decision on the action items for the financial year to put together a report mechanism to enable reporting against the PDA. Now, as I said, this is still a new way in terms of reporting. Some of it is still needing some tightening up, to be precise, as I said earlier on, where you don't have to report against processes, but either a report, a particular strategy, a deliverable in terms of service where you vaccinated or you offered farmer packages or you loaned. All of these matters need to be tightened up. And then also maybe a narrative here where rather than a narrative you indicate what other measures are you taking where you failed or you've not met with your target. And the most important from my perspective, members, is that we need to indicate whether then having failed or not met this in the remaining quarter, now we've just completed the first quarter, we are practically finishing the second quarter from the government perspective. We're left with two other quarters. Having said we've not completed, we're in the work in progress. We need then to indicate to this committee and to our ministers in general, how are we going to deal with uncompleted, incomplete work across the board? Because that means we are loading it, so on to the next quarter. We've got to indicate. But it may be that due to certain factors, we may actually indicate that this work is actually not going to be done at all, either because it's been wrongly worded, it's a process or something like that. But that's what we needed to firm up with this committee so that next time when we come, as I said, we could be coming with a report of
the smiley, you know, your eyes that say done, with the smiley face, and say done, not done, then therefore say, and we then say what is happening here. But it will trigger in terms of the reporting, or we score like this: if you have 100%, if you hit 50 or below, and again we have to explain. We've not yet found our foothold, but we'll be guided by yourself in terms of how we report into this. It is really needing your assistance. We vacillate between any of these measures when we report both to ourselves and to our minister, but we're still improving on some of them. We already had such a report of the whole of last year done. And the writing of the annual report that we'll be receiving by September would be on the basis of completed and reports that have been given to the minister between them, and we're now reporting on them fully. And in fact, it's likely that they could append the annual report where you could get finer details in terms of how it's performed. But it is work in progress, and we would gladly receive your wisdom on how we could perform it. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I thought, as I said, there are a lot of measures for us that the adoption check in terms of fire force, that the GCD says they've finished and found the suitability of the land. And he mentioned about Northwest, Free State, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, and KZN. And then the UN Federal says the crop that has been identified, maize, soybean, sugar cane, sunflower, and one cornel or whatever. The reason I'm raising this chapter, you know, I think that I think I read more than 5 to 6 research studies. Now I've got a document before me which has been done by three sectors. Energy sector, agricultural sector, and environmental sector. In their recommendation, they are saying that where I want to comment. They are saying, one of the recommendations says, the small biofuel project in the form of a rural cooperative should be favored, as this could be a more efficient vehicle for rural poverty reduction than large-scale commercial vendors. I'm raising that bullet point in the context of the identification of about 5 problems. As he has said, good for farmers, bad for consumers. I would say in terms of your food and choice. I just want to hear you, GT, because in terms of the expected summary, they are saying biofuel in the African region of Africa, which is part of the cost of the government, proposes 4.5% biofuel industry development, which is aimed at achieving 75% of the country's European energy target by 2015. If you see you have gone so far and not getting really great cuts in raising revenue, so I just want to hear in terms of your comment, in terms of that particular point, because I believe that there has been interaction between yourself and BMP. And also, if you can brief us, in terms of the interaction between yourself and BME, because I believe that the BME is trying to claim that this biofuel should be in their jurisdiction as opposed to their federal jurisdiction. Of course, then any whatever. Just want to hear that because there has been also the interaction between BME and SASO. That SASO wants to take over the responsibility one way or another. Which, if then that can happen,
okay, just very short. Firstly, Kate, I asked a question on the Free State Agriculture Plan and whether the department has seen it or not. If the DG is not in a position to respond today, if you could send us a written reply. Secondly, Kate, we asked whether we will get a copy copies of the application, the advertisement that were placed for the disposal of land. And I think that the selection criteria that Mr. Morati spoke of was very sketchy, didn't really give us much. We would like to know what the selection criteria actually was, and and to whom the NECA funds were allocated.
Thank you, Chair. Through your Chair, they will supply the information around the application format and the disposal around NECA, and also then also acquire the plan. My general understanding is that we do know about the project, but I will familiarize myself once more and then come through with an answer on those. Thank you. In as far as the specific questions that have been raised of the small, the large, the cooperative, this indeed, Madam Chair, to Honourable Member Dali, has been the issue that has been abroad within this discussion. We now have adopted an approach that says we'll embrace both approaches. What we mean by that is that for a quick takeoff, because there is an element of a takeoff that, let me start from the side. We have been interacting with the Department of Minerals and Energy, to whom this matter is falling under. Indeed, we have had strong representation made to the minister that we insist that we run with this. But I met with the Director General of PNB, and after some lengthy discussions, we agreed that this area, like in all other areas of energy, should remain under their jurisdiction. Amongst others, there are benefits. In terms of the arsenal of policies, instruments, and programs, they are more well-equipped than ourselves. If we would have said we remain with it, we may have had to have that amount of programs and policies which they have. And we also benefit directly. They have assured us and said, in many respects, in some of the areas where we wanted things, they said, no, but we have it, but it's done this way. Let me indicate. On the issues of the blending, a general preference from the agricultural side would not like to blend a 2.5 as it's proposed. Would like to blend a 10 because that would require more of the agricultural output. PME came to us and said, yes, we could do that. But the point that you've got to take into consideration when you want to go for blending a 10 is whether you can guarantee the supply. And there, agriculture could not say again. The advice then was, because the danger is the following. If you say 10, which you could get, or even 100%, EME said to us, you see, after EME, we don't focus much from the production, we focus from the consumer. Our consumers have got to get to that lending and that supply. So it's a supply security, as the EME just said recently. And if you agriculture people in the country are not going to be able to supply that, you'll be forced to import. And it will be the first, we will be the first people in the sector to actually feel the pinch of the import. The Brazilians will immediately come in and they're cheaper. So the DME was saying, be aware of the dangers of shooting high and being unable to meet that. The advice was, go for 2.5. If your capacity is well above that, you still are able, under the cover of the 2.5, to actually gradually grow, and you extend from 2.5, 3, 5, 10, but at your capacity. This brings me to a different element which is touched on, that is of FASOL and CES, Central Energy Fund. Immediately they want to import, and that's going to hit us in the sense that where do they import from? Cheap sources and subsidized areas. It hits our production, it hits our local producers and players in the sector. So, DME, this collaboration has been very helpful for us because they focus on the consumer side. They say, be careful, although it's
protective element from the agriculture, but it may cut you, and you may end up actually out of the game if you go too much and you're unable. So we take maybe a very cautious and a conservative approach on small in terms of what we have to choose. That's why we're blocking them, that's all. And the fee from importing, they get it from the local. Now within the local, it's both the lunch, because they are quick off the block. The Free State, the Northwest, and the Mpumalanga will immediately come within a season on stream. Whereas if we're focusing and we intend to bring in the Eastern Cape, what will the Natal, which will come from the former homeland area, the small there, we still need to organize. We still need to put a series of things that we discuss with yourself here. So the quick takeoff might not be there. And again, remember DME. They're not interested in all of those problems. They want to see the supply. We could get that quickly from the commercial side. And so it's that mixture that Madam Chair we want to. Even if we're to go from the commercial side, because of the agri, we believe that, and it has been packaged like that, that the commercial side, when it comes, it will come with some leg empowerment of the sort. So we believe it's a more realistic and a pragmatic approach rather than an either or. We then exploit the both advantages on this side, but we quickly meet with what DME says as the government program. That covers therefore also the developing areas. The small, the cooperative or the big, we just say let's not abandon any and disadvantage any of those. We could quickly take off. We're not worried over about the border of these phenomena. We know the specific things that are taking place there. We can manage those.
I think this
thing
I'm not concerned. I thought my voice was loud enough. I have a concern because when we talk about farmers here, we talk about, we've indicated a number of people there, small farmers, indicated NAFO type of farmers, subsistence farmers, those who are in the communal land area, and we have this program that we are having of giving out starter packs. Sorry to take you back, but I just wanted to find out how you measure what you are giving to the farmer, the subsistence farmer. Is it what you are giving, seeds or whatever, fertilizers and whatever instruments? Are you measuring that according to hectares or just a garden or food security? Or what is it that is happening? I'm afraid that when all these issues of biofuel, the last, the commercial farmers, immediately say we are ready to export, we are ready to take our crops somewhere else where we can gain a lot of money, and the country will be left without food. Now, what is the measurement of the area to the workforce? Have you got something like that for just reading, as long as the person is making a food garden, as long as the food garden, can't you just have a span on that and give them a bigger portion to, a little bit more resources to work on? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If you take the agri-BE has got seven key areas. And one of the authors of the agri-BE, the policy, seated there at Ishwaki. One of those issues are enterprise development. The other one is equity. The other one is training. The other one is the broader rural development. You would add where I have left some of the issues. what we have said, you know, as far as Bethel and the element of the gender and the youth, what we've then said in as far as this is concerned, that DEE in general supports Bethel black people. And key to that would be checking the number of the new enterprises that are participating in terms of the mainstream. We would be checking also the enterprises that are springing up, whether it's farms or it's other businesses. And we've been working with and through the presidency to come up with 5 areas that we focus on, which would, and I just want to pick one of them because it addresses the issue of market. We have said we want to see, amongst others, a growth of 5 or 10 to 15% of black people who are involved in the export industry. So amongst others, therefore, we already asked ourselves to see who is involved, how many are they, and then by the measure that we set ourselves, an increase of 10 to 15%, we'd like to see people then entering the export industry. We already know where South Africa is strong on in terms of the export, like the fruit, the wine, and our auspices and some other types of products that we see. So it's in these areas where we'd like to see them entering in terms of the product. The other measure, Madam Chair, is the issue of production. We have said we'd like to see black people increase their productivity, their production and productivity by 10 to 15%. Again, there's an indicator that we're following. Who are those that are on the land? And Mr. Mankazan has already told us in terms of the people that they intend to put to support the farmers, but then from him we get to know who are the farmers, and then we want to follow them in terms of increasing their production by 10% in the next 2 years. So we really want that the output for all the farmers, the black farmers that are there. The last one is access to what we call here comprehensive agricultural services, your card. Now, finance, marketing, you name them. And then here we have said there should be no new and emerging black farmer who has come into the market who does not know where to market their product, who does not receive the services. So this is another indicator. If there's a black farmer who says he or she is not having access, then that measure would have said we have failed. But of course, in terms of South Africa being South Africa and the problem of employment being so key, it's in the end through the employment generation that we will be ultimately done. And here, given that agriculture, and this is a phenomenon that confuses many people, agriculture generally, employment is high. But what we wanted to do was to create self-employment to ensure that people come in, maybe they don't become workers, but at least they are producing. And so we would be judging ourselves by those people, Dr. Kreifer-Nickel and Dr. Canelo were saying, people that do and want to farm. So we want to ensure that those that want to and can farm and can be assisted come on stream and be assisted. And to the extent that they succeed, it's to that extent that we have changed our effectiveness in terms of this. So we've got several, not a single measure that we are putting in place to judge our effectiveness. So it's not only that we land onto a farm. We have been advised, amongst others, by yourself to say you can buy a farm, but you can't buy farming. And that advice has helped us to say then we've got to ensure that farming can occur. But there is a series of indicators that we are putting in place. Thank you, man.
Yes, you know.